curated to encourage leaders at all levels to be their best selves and to bring a fresh, curious perspective to today's issues in business and culture. Ron's goal is to equip all listeners with the resources to always move forward in their journey. Welcome to today's episode of the Always Forward Leadership Podcast.
Welcome to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I am Carla Winchester, and this week we're going to continue with our Catalyst University Takeover interviews and talk with Ron as he interviews Jess Ekstrom. Jess is with Headbands of Hope. And Ron, I know that you're not only a huge supporter of entrepreneurs and startup businesses, but also millennials, and Jess is all of those. What was your favorite part of the interview with her?
I think my favorite part with Jess was the reinforcement of our bias as, you know, I'm a Gen X, you know, on the top end of Gen X. And we think of millennials as, you know, sometimes a little flighty or sometimes more interested in social good than in making sure there's money in the bank account. And Jess kicks all of those biases to the curb. She's an amazing businesswoman who, you know, wrote her first book at age 19, has launched successful businesses. You know, she has a small company, I don't know, 4 or 5 employees today with a global impact. And when we could talk about that, she transcends any bias you're going to have and is really an amazing business leader who just happens to be a millennial woman. So let's go listen to Jess. Hey, we're backstage at Catalyst University with Jess Ekstrom. How are you?
Good. I'm so excited to be here.
I am so pumped you're here. You both, your story is incredible, but you're incredible and we're just having an incredible day.
Thank you.
So let's dive right into your story. How would you describe your season of leadership?
My season of leadership, I'm 6 years now into starting Headbands of Hope. So it's really evolved from me having all the ideas to creating a culture of ideas. So it being 19 and starting my business, I always felt like I was the one who had to do everything because I was a one-woman show. And now that I have a team of people, it's really not me racking my brain anymore to come up with the next steps or the best ideas in the room. It's creating a culture that makes people feel like they can be innovative, have the freedom to express that.
It's amazing you talk about that because propaganda talked about the exact same thing.
Oh, really?
About the mistakes that leaders make, not being able to let go, to think you have to do everything yourself.
Yeah, you know, I can totally relate to that. I think that was one of the biggest hurdles for me the past few years is knowing that there are people out there that are probably more qualified than I am to do some of the things that we need to do for Headbands of Hope. And letting them do their thing and stepping back. I think when you start a business or you start a movement and you have this vision, sometimes you think that maybe you'll never come across someone that is so passionate and believes in it just as much as you do because you were the creator. But I was so wrong in that. It's sometimes I have to tell my team to calm down, take a step back. We'll get there because they're just so passionate.
It is amazing to surround yourself with those people. But even with that, every leader that we work with, whether it's in the faith-based community, not-for-profits, for-profit, education, local government, the great leaders all are constantly on the edge of burning themselves out. How do you feed and protect your soul in doing that?
That is a brilliant question and one that I have to reflect on every day because I have to tell you, I'm walking through it. I started my business in college. It's the only thing I've ever known is entrepreneurship. And I feel like it was kind of this curve where the first few years, everything was so exciting because it was so new and any step forward was just a huge win. And now that we've made such a mark and we have an established business and we've done so many great things, it also is accompanied with always continue to grow and pressure to always do more than what you just did. And sometimes that doesn't leave room for celebration of what you've done. And that's important to do because sometimes I'm just so worried about what's going to happen next that I don't realize all of the amazing things that we've done for these kids all over the world because it's in the past. We have to keep moving. So for me, you know, one of my New Year's resolutions, I actually just signed up for this journal service called dabble.me, and it sends you a prompt every day to your email that you have to write, because I love writing. And I found myself that I write for Entrepreneur, Huffington Post. So whenever I was writing, it was for other people. And I really feel like I need to also write for myself, a way to be more mindful about celebrating what I've done, what we can do more of, and just being present and not just worried about what's going to happen next.
Great advice. Who do you admire most, you know, right now, and why?
You know, I got to say, this is might be a cliche answer, but my parents. So my dad started his company when I was about 10 years old. And it was one of those things where they had two kids. He had a full-time job, but he had this vision, and he sat us down for a family meeting and asked if he could go for it. And we said, sure, why not?
Having never known hunger, you didn't realize what was really at risk.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Really, and I didn't realize, I'm like, oh, I can't get toys anymore. You know, what does this mean? But I saw him pour everything he had into this business idea. And it was kind of funny. My mom one day came into his office, which was the bathroom that he reformed in our house, said, you know, can I help you with anything? Can I get you a sandwich? Can I get you water? He was like, can you do customer service for me? And she did that for 10 years. He was like, I just thought you might want a sandwich. But as seeing him do that made taking that leap of entrepreneurship for me not seem like such an offbeat and crazy thing. And so they just sold their company about 3 years ago, sold everything that they owned, and they've lived in full time in an RV ever since. And they just got jobs. I'm doing quotation mark jobs as park rangers in Fort Myers, Florida. So they are just living their best life right now.
Not a bad gig.
So I think it took him a little bit to turn off being an entrepreneur and pouring everything you have into an idea. And then all of a sudden it's just this blank slate, a new chapter. To me, him finding this kind of new mindfulness and this new piece of this new life was just as impressive as selling his company, because it was such a shift that, you know, they had to do together.
Yeah, it's a risk you take.
Yeah.
And sometimes even though it's going to be better,
yeah,
it's still scary.
Yeah. And I think sometimes when you put so much weight and pressure on like an achievement that you want, and then it comes and you have this mentality of what you think it's going to be like, and it's not like that right away, it can make you feel like, wait, this is what I've been working for my whole life, and now I have it, and now, you know, I'm supposed to be at peace and loving life, and now, you know, you can't just flip that switch.
No,
so it was a process.
No, you can't. Yeah. How awesome. All right, we're going to rapid fire now. These quick one, two-word answers. You ready?
All right, bring it on.
Favorite color?
Yellow.
You know, I don't think anybody has ever said yellow. I have asked that question 100 times. I'm sorry. I'm like,
I love yellow. It just is a fun.
It is.
Like the sun, you know, I love it. It's a new day.
Favorite car?
Oh, I just got a Kia. So let's go with that. All right. Don't know a lot of cars.
First car?
A Mini Cooper.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah. Favorite book?
Favorite book, start with why.
Oh, that's a great one. Family's favorite meal?
Family's favorite meal, pork chops. Yeah, my dad's pork chops. Yeah.
I'm there with you. What's your superpower?
Oh, my superpower is probably a terrible singing voice and the ability to laugh at myself.
So I think your superpower is you're a battery. Every place you go, you bring energy.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
thank
I'm going to give you battery as your superpower.
I appreciate it. I like that one better. Let's go with that. Yeah.
What's your theme song, your on-deck song?
Anything Bruno Mars. He's just uptown. Like all of that gets me pumped up.
Yeah, me too. But I got to be at home where I can dance and nobody's around. Cheeseburger or pizza?
Pizza. I just got back from Italy, so I ate all the pizza.
It's
anything.
Good. It is. Text or call?
Call.
I say that doesn't work at all.
But as a millennial, that's something I prefer, but I also need to work on, because it's so easy to just text. So I always have to remind myself to pick up the phone and call.
Yeah, but I'm much more likely, if you text me, that I will call you.
Yeah, you know, you're that person.
I will text you, but if you text me, I'm calling.
I'm calling.
So, movie that you can watch over and over?
Shawshank Redemption.
Okay. Favorite space to work?
Favorite space to work?
Yeah, a place that gives you energy. And
there's a co-working space where I am in Raleigh called HQ Raleigh. And I feel like that was the first spot where I actually felt like an entrepreneur. So I always hold a special piece of that, you know, wherever I go. Just the hustle and bustle and being around other people who have ideas is inspiring.
That's very cool. Favorite band when you were in high school? Now, this should be easy to remember. This is like a week ago.
Not quite, but let's go with that. Favorite band when I was in high school, I've always been Zac Brown. That's been my favorite.
I love Zac Brown band. Which actor will play you in a movie?
Oh, you tell me. I don't know.
Oh, come on. You gotta like.
I love Kristen Wiig.
Oh, yeah. That's a great one.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. I'll get you.
Oh, my gosh. Amy Poehler. I love funny women. Yeah.
And you kind of got that Amy Leslie Poehler cheeks. Yeah. Great. That was awesome. Thank you for playing Rapid Fire.
Oh, man. I just like worked up a sweat. I'm like, it's making me nervous.
So what mistakes do leaders make most often and how can they avoid it?
I think telling what to do instead of inspiring a cohesive solution. I think I used to think I had to just have all of the answers and be able to respond. But instead of doing that, putting it back on them, saying, well, what do you think would be best? And making them feel like they're a part of the solution instead of being the one with all the solutions. Because a lot of times their ideas are better than mine.
No, that's great. My former board chair I go to him and we talk things out and he say, now, do you want me to tell you what to do or do you want me to talk you through the answer?
Yeah.
And some days you go, listen, I've been on this so much.
Just tell me what you want.
But other times. There's a huge gift of somebody who will help you work through the answer and give you feedback. It just produces a better product.
Yeah. And I also feel like people are more willing to work towards something that they felt like they were a part of the creation.
You own it.
Yeah.
All right. Last question. If you had $5,000 a year to spend on developing your own leadership, how would you spend it?
Ooh, that's a great question. I would definitely say something that you actually brought up is like more mindfulness and self-care, because I think that that is one thing that gets in the way of my leadership is getting in my own head and feeling the weight of the world. And so doing, you know, yoga and just more times to be quiet and create room for anything else. And my team always laughs at me whenever I'm driving a car and like have a long car ride, I always have all of these ideas. And they're like, oh, Jess must be driving in the car because she just called us with all of these new ideas that she wants to do. And I realized the reason why that happens is because I'm not on my phone. I'm not connected. I'm just quiet. And all of a sudden, I can think again. So I think if maybe there was some kind of like program that I could do that put me in that space where I had to just remove myself, I would be a better leader.
I'm laughing because there's a document that floats around our office. My assistants traditionally last about 18 months or 2 years, although Faye's in the room and she's not going anywhere.
Stay right there.
But it's called the Care and Feeding of Ron. And one of the things is to know that if I've been on a plane trip, when I come back, be ready because there's this avalanche
Everything.
Of ideas and things. And I have been known, if I'm in the doldrums, if I'm feeling funky in my leadership, to actually find the cheapest, longest flight I can find and to go fly somewhere, stay in a hotel room and fly home just for the privilege of thinking.
Wow, that's a good
idea. Just sit in the seat with your headphones on and just let it pour. And invariably, it breaks up my leadership doldrum. Invariably, it happens.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're on the same page
with
that.
And it costs $400 or $500 by the time you pay for the flight in a cheap hotel room at the airport. I don't do anything. I don't see anything. I eat like tacos, you know, from Taco Bell.
Room service.
Nothing fancy about it. It is just about giving myself space to think.
I think that with technology and social media, everything is just so noisy right now. And you feel like you have to be connected on every single platform or you have to respond to emails in 10 minutes. And when you think about how much time you're spent just reacting to what's happening and not thinking or absorbing anything, I feel like it's a missed opportunity. I wish that I took time besides in a car or on a plane to just quiet my mind and see what happens.
I'm working a lot on this mindfulness and somebody I trust a lot said, you know, mindfulness, you know, don't worry about, you know what, the spirituality or any of that stuff. Just think of this quiet time for leaders is adding water to your leadership. And too many times our leadership is like beef jerky is a moist piece of steak till you dehydrate it. Soak a piece of beef jerky in water. It regains that form. And that's what we have to do with mindfulness, helps, you know, turn our leadership from beef jerky to prime steak.
And I think that that can come in a lot of different ways. Like I was talking to some other entrepreneurs who experience that same thing where they just need to remove themselves. And one of them loves to cook. He's like, that's my thing is I cook and that's how I decompress. And I love doing yoga. There's a lot of times people think that mindfulness or meditation is I have to sit still and focus on my breath.
With a Swami hat
exactly.
on.
But it's really finding what works best for you where you can just calm yourself and like you said, you know, water the plant.
Yeah, there's a great book out, 10% Happier, about this idea of mindfulness. And that really is, if you told anybody, if you spend 10 minutes every day and you'll be 10% happier in your life, we'd all do it. And that really is what it's all about. Now, what you find is it also helps your performance and it helps your smile.
Yeah.
Your hair is shinier and, you know, and you're more attractive to the opposite sex.
Yeah. That's the only reason why I do it, you know.
All right, Jess Ekstrom, thanks for being with us. If people want to follow you, how do they do that?
You can go to headbandsofhope.com, and then I am at Jess_Ekstrom on all social media, Instagram, Twitter.
It's a great follow. Please do it. Jess, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Ron.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode. We hope today's conversation inspired you to keep moving forward on your leadership journey. To connect with Ron, you can tweet him at Ron Kitchens or send him a message via ronkitchens.com. And if you are listening via iTunes, please leave a review. It really helps us connect to you and grow our impact. Make sure to tune in every Monday for a new episode of the Always Forward Leadership Podcast.